So, what shall we say to these things? The pandemic, coronavirus. I prefer to call it a fear pandemic. What shall we say to these things? It's in the blood. It's in the blood. God said, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. And the death angel passed over the Jews. But when the death angel saw the blood on the lintel of the doorposts of their homes, he passed over. And, you know, there might be a death angel, it's a demon, bringing the coronavirus to the world today. But when it sees you and it sees the blood, it has to pass over. Because God said, I will put none of these diseases on you. Now, we got a choice. We can be the Egyptians or we can be the children of God. But God makes a distinction, you know, between his kids and someone else's kids. Now, God loves everybody, but he gives everybody the freedom to choose. And when I bowed my head when I was 14 years old at a Billy Graham crusade at Western Springs, Point Chev, in 1967. From that day onwards, it doesn't matter what virus hits the planet. It has to pass over when it finds me, when I said yes to Jesus. You know, sometimes our reaction to an event is worse than the actual event. And fear is gripping the human race right now, and it does not have to. Fear is a symptom of unrighteousness. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Adam and Eve, you know, they're the ones who brought this into the earth. And the very first thing that happened after they sinned, what do they do? They experienced fear. And they became aware of their nakedness and they felt unprotected, so they tried to cover themselves. And that's what every human being feels in the face of a crisis. They experience fear. But I shall not fear what man can do to me. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die, or of a virus that Satan sent and Jesus has already conquered him, rose from the dead? To prove it, he has the power of life over death. So what shall we say to these things? Because I don't know about you, but my 6 o'clock news is talking to me every night. And it's telling me, you better be careful, you better watch out, got to watch where you go. What shall we say to these things? If you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The blood has made a way for us into the presence of God. The Bible talks in Hebrews where it says that our hope has gone before us into the presence of God. Your very desires, your very longings, your hopes are in the presence of God, because there's been a way made into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. And your desires, your longings, your hope is in the presence of God. And the blood is there interceding on your behalf. Jesus is praying for you. And I love that scripture, that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was shed into the earth, and the Bible says it cries for vengeance. And the blood of Jesus fell into the earth, and it cries for mercy. It cries for better things. And the blood of Jesus is in heaven right now, crying for better things. Where you are right now may not be the best, but the blood of Jesus is crying for better things for you this morning. I'm excited about that. It's in the blood. Hallelujah. It's in the blood. And the blood is crying right now for you and for me, for better. Oh, hallelujah. A better health. A better house. And don't get all spiritual on me. You go to work 40 hours a week trying to make money to pay off your mortgage. You know, there are Old Testament promises where God said, I will give you houses you did not build. I will give you vineyards you did not plant. Now, that's old covenant. And the Bible says we have a better covenant, because the blood of Jesus is crying out for better. So why do they get houses given to them in the Old Testament, but we have to work our butt off to earn one in the New Testament? Well, according to your faith, be it unto you. I was given a house, but we sowed our first home into the gospel. It's a powerful seed. The word still works for those who work the word. I'm not saying you should be, that you shouldn't be diligent in going to work and earning an income and saving to buy a home. I'm not saying that. But you know, God has better for us. He can help us. He can help us get a home where there is no way. Because today it's getting flipping hard. I don't know if you've noticed. It's getting very hard to buy a home. But where there is no way, God can make a way. He can part the Red Sea just like he did thousands of years ago. They were caught literally between a rock and a hard place. They had nowhere to go. God said, well, let me make a way for you. So I don't know what you're facing this morning. Maybe you're saying, but there is no way. But you're forgetting the one word in the Bible that changes everything. But God, two words. Two words change everything. And all things are possible with God. We're going to make a preacher out of you too. All things are possible with God. Now, I know because I've done it myself. I know that at least half of you are thinking, yes, but. No, don't but God. God buts us. I'm going to say it again because I know I've been there. I've heard preachers say things and I say, well, that's all right for you, but for me, that's not going to happen. Well, who are you to say that the Word of God doesn't apply in your situation? Who are you to disqualify yourself from the provision of God when He went to such lengths to make it for you? Who are you to say that's not enough? I would at least agree with God and say, well, it's possible. It's possible. Lord, help my unbelief. But it is possible. Let's at least get that much out of your unbelieving heart. I'm not criticizing him because I've been there. That's why I'm saying I know at least half of you are saying but. Because I've sat there and said but myself. And it's those kind of buts that cancel the provision of God in your life. But God, yeah, if it's all about you, then yes, I can understand that. Because you can't part no Red Sea. But God can make a way. He can make a way where there is no way. And it's in the blood, in His blood, not yours. So let's stop nullifying the power, because there's still power in the blood. I'm here to tell you, there's still power. There's still power in the blood to bring healing, to bring deliverance. That hasn't changed. It still cries from the Holy of Holies. It still cries before the throne of God for something better for you. You have not lived to your full potential. You cannot say like Paul said, I have run my race and there is laid up for me a crown in heaven. You can't say that. There's many a mile to go this night before you reach the town, oh town, oh town, oh. You got many a mile to go tonight before you reach the glory. And they shall bear fruit in their old age. So those of us who are in our 60s or our 70s, it ain't over. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. There might be a slight pause while you catch your breath for the second half of the marathon. And this is a marathon. It ain't a sprint. I don't know about you, but I burned up a lot of my energy in the first half of this race. Oh, for an old head on young legs. Yeah? But it ain't over. God has better. Your latter end will greatly increase. You know, God can do in one day what it took you 20 years to try to accomplish. Because God can make a way. Because God's God. There's nobody like God. And we put Him in our box that says, God, you can do this and you can do that. And you know, if it doesn't fit my framework of what I think is possible, then it's impossible. That's why Jesus could do no mighty works in His own hometown, because they just saw Him as Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. They didn't see Him for who He was. You know, God's a lot bigger than you think He is. Thank you. So He's at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us, saying, Father, please let them get a hold of what I did for them on Calvary. Because a lot of them, you'd think I hadn't done anything. Sorry. He says, you know, part of the problem is that we don't think we're worthy. It's like, well, it's for me, and I'm not worthy. Because you carry around all your junk. God says, I will remember their sins no more. No more. Say no more. No more. But for a lot of us, that's all we think about. We can't do this. We can't do that. We got this problem. We got that problem. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What shall we say to these things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, say in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Whew, pretty much got it wrapped up. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything in creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us. God loves us. And He loves us with a perfect love. And that perfect love is supposed to cast out fear. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And His love is perfect. So why do we still carry around our little fears? Because the Word says, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I'd like to put it this way. He who fears has not had a revelation of the perfect love of God for them. If we had a full revelation, a full understanding of the perfect love that God has for us, there would be no fear. We need the revelation of what it means to be in Christ. We are free from sickness and disease in Christ. We are free from poverty in Christ. We have been set free. We have the Spirit of life living inside of us. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, shall make alive your mortal body. It's a Spirit of life that inhabits us. There's power in that. Everybody's going to die one day. There's a time clock that's winding down for every person. But because of the Spirit of life that abides in us, we should be living healthy lives until the time clock runs out and we peacefully pass into eternity. Our cells renew themselves, our whole body renews itself every 7 years, but the process slows down and the cells aren't able to renew themselves as quickly as they used to. And so growing old and cells not being able to renew themselves as quickly as they did when we were younger is different from catching some deadly disease and dying sick. That's different. There's the law of the Spirit of life. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." See, there's a that word law, by the way, in this passage of Scripture is not the Ten Commandments law. It's not the Old Testament law. It's not all the, you know, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that. The Greek word actually means principle. If you think of it more in terms of the law of gravity or the principle of gravity, there's a principle in life that says, if I drop this, the earth is going to pull it towards itself like that. That's a principle. It's a law. And so the principle, the force, there's a force operating here. It's called gravity. It's pulling down on this pen to the ground. The principle or the force of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there's a force in you. It's the Spirit of the living God. And it's like a magnet, and it's pulling to you everything that's in the blood. Prosperity, healing, health, opportunity, good things. It's pulling to you. Good things. It's a force. See, we read the Bible, we don't really understand what it's saying. Oh, the Spirit, the law of the what? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. You think, oh, the law of the Spirit of life. We don't even got no idea what we're reading. It's a law. Well, what does that mean? The Greek says it's the force, the principle. The principle, the what it does, what does it mean to have the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that kicked Satan in the butt, that bruised his head, that made a mockery of him. That same Spirit is in you. The devil never makes a fool out of you. Never. Never. Never does he rob from you and get away from it. Never does he make you sick and not pay a penalty. Never does he give you a hard time that someday his demons go screaming from you when you recognize who lies inside you. There's a force in you, a powerful force like this world has never seen. And it's just waiting to get out from inside you, get through your cruddy brain that says, you can't do this. Who do you think you are? Paul says, when you do this and you do that and you're arguing, constantly arguing, and you're in the flesh, says, you are not mere mortals. He says, don't you realize you are not merely human beings. He says, you are a different species because we have been spermed by God. We are God-human. And I know that's a bit radical for some people, but what does it mean to be spermed by the living Christ, the seed of God? The Bible says, he who has not the seed are none of his. If she hasn't got my seed, she ain't my kid. She's someone else's kid. But she's got my brains and her mother's good looks, so I know she's mine. But if she doesn't have my sperm, she's not mine. And the word says, if you don't have the sperm of God in you, you're not God's kid either. You've been spermed by God. What does that mean? His DNA is in you. No devil can compete with that. That's destined for victory. Because it's in the blood and it was purchased for you. When you said yes to Jesus, he joined himself to you in your spirit. Your spirit came alive by the Spirit of the living God. And Paul says, you're not mere mortals anymore. You're another species on the planet. You know, Satan had that. He knew this was coming. And that's why God had to destroy the whole earth with Noah's flood. Because there were giants in the earth. And you know why? Because the Bible says the angels left their domain, their heavenly domain in the spiritual realm. And they came and they had intercourse. They had sex with women. And the Nephilim were born. And they were demonized people. They were literally half human, half demonic. And the Bible says that Noah was perfect in all his generations. I don't think that's just talking about he was a good man. He may have been the only person left on the planet who did not have the seed of Nephilim in him. He was the only. He could have been the only person left. Now, this is just conjecture, and don't shoot me down. I'm not building a whole doctrine on it. I'm just saying, why did God destroy the entire planet? That may have been his last chance to redeem man. Noah may have been the only person left with the pure seed that hadn't been contaminated by some demonic spirit. That's something to think about. I tell you, well, you can make great movies out of the Bible. Waiting for someone to make a movie out of that. Waiting for someone to write a book about that. That's a story right there, mate. But Satan knew it was coming. The Bible says the thief comes only to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And all who came before me were thieves and robbers. And Satan came to the human race and tried to seed his spirit into humanity. And so we had demon mankind. But God's turn was coming. And now we got God, humankind, walking around on the planet. And God has chained all those angels who left their estate and sinned and cast them into hell and bound them in chains so they don't do it again. But God has a free hand every day. And he's just going around seeding people, sperming people with the power of the Holy Ghost, creating God humans everywhere, every day. And if you're not a God human yet, it's time you became one. Because there will become a force in you, a spiritual force of righteousness rising up inside you. When sickness comes against you, it melts away because there's a spiritual force inside you. It's life, and it pushes it away. Have you ever played with magnets? And, you know, if you turn them in some way, they attract each other. But if you turn them so that the poles are the same, they repel. Well, that's the force we're talking about. You've got a force inside you that repels sickness. And a force inside you that attracts wealth and health and better things. Oh, Jesus, I'm so grateful. Now, we've still got time to do this. So we're going to do it. Have you got that ready to go? Look, I just want to read this together. Because I'm sure you've heard the testimony of John G. Lake before about the law of the spirit of life and his testimony during the bubonic plague in Africa, where he, you know, was burying people who died of the bubonic plague, but he never got the bubonic plague. Have you got that ready to go? I'll just read it aloud with you. No, just we'll read it together out loud, and you just move it when we get to the bottom. All right, so let's do this, darling. When I saw for the first time by the word of God that sickness was not the will of God, everything in my nature rose up to defeat the will of the devil. Now watch the action of the law of life. Faith. Can everybody read that okay? Okay. Faith belongs to the law of life. Faith is the very opposite of fear. Fear has the opposite effect in spirit and soul and body. Faith causes the spirit of man to become confident. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. A positive mind repels disease. Consequently, the emanation of the Spirit destroys disease, germs. And because we were in contact with the Spirit of life, I and a little Dutch fellow with me went out and buried many of the people who had died from the bubonic plague. We went into the homes and carried them out, dug the graves and put them in. Sometimes we would put three or four in one grave. We never took the disease. Why? Because of the knowledge that the law of life in Christ Jesus protects us. That law was working because of the fact that a man, by that action of his will, puts himself purposely in contact with God. Faith takes possession of his heart, and the condition of his nature is changed. Instead of being fearful, he's full of faith. Instead of being absorbent and drawing everything to himself, his spirit repels sickness and disease. The spirit of Christ Jesus flows through the whole being and emanates through the hands, the heart, and from every pore of the body. During that great plague that I mentioned, they sent a government ship with supplies and corps of doctors. One of the doctors sent for me and said, "What have you been using to protect yourself? Our corps has this preventative and that, which we use as protection. But we concluded that if a man could stay on the ground as you have and keep ministering to the sick and burying the dead, you must have a secret. What is it?" I answered, "Brother, that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I believe that just as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that his spirit is flowing into my soul and body, no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the Spirit of God will kill it." He asked, "Don't you think that you'd better use our preventatives?" I replied, "No, but doctor, I think that you would like to experiment with me. If you go over to one of these dead people and take the foam that comes out of their lungs after death, then put it under the microscope, you will see masses of living germs. You'll find they are alive until a reasonable time after a man is dead. You can fill my hand with them and I'll keep it under the microscope, and instead of these germs remaining alive, they will die instantly." They tried it and found it was true. They questioned, "What is that?" I replied, "That's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When a man's spirit and a man's body are filled with the blessed presence of God, it oozes out of the pores of your flesh and kills the germs. Suppose, on the other hand, my soul had been under the law of death and I were in fear and darkness. The very opposite would have been the result. The result would have been that my body would have absorbed the germs. These would have generated disease and I would have died. You who are sick, put yourself in contact with God's law of life. Read his word with the view of enlightening your heart so that you'll be able to look up with more confidence and believe him. Pray that the Spirit of God will come into your soul. Take possession of your body, and its power will make you well. That is the exercise of the law of the Spirit, or the force of the Spirit, or the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." We read that scripture. We are awakening to that marvelous truth that Christ is not in the heavens only, nor the atmosphere only, but Christ is in you. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Oh, I'm almost preached out here. I got 4 minutes left. Yeah, we're doing all right. Let me just have a little disclaimer here. Not everyone has the faith of John G. Lake. Wish we all did, but let's be real. I believe we should be taking, listen carefully to me, I believe we should be taking necessary precautions to avoid situations of contamination. But if we find ourselves in a compromising situation, we can stand on the promise that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I got the Spirit of Christ Jesus in me. It's a force repelling this rubbish. But please don't tempt God or act presumptuously. And nobody leave this building saying something I did not say. Are we good? Yes. All right. But the promise of divine protection belongs to us for such a time as this. When we look into the perfect law, the principle of liberty or freedom, we'll be blessed. We look into the law, the principle of abiding in Christ, staying in the love. Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. If we know we are loved, we have no fear. And when God sees you resting, when he sees you resting in his love, he sees your faith. Whatever your situation is, whatever you're believing God for, Father, you've heard my prayer. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we know that he hears us, if we know that he hears us, if we know he loves us and we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. I've handed the situation over to you. You're working behind the scenes even when I am not. Good things come to the beloved when they sleep. You're making all things work together for good. I've got nothing to fear because perfect love, knowing that I am perfectly loved, has cast out all fear, cast out all foreboding thoughts, all feelings of dread. That little feeling of fear that I experience, that's the heart's little reminder that I've forgotten who it is that loves me. Yeah? Well, there ain't no fear gonna talk to me. There ain't no fear gonna talk to me. I got the Word of God, the seed of God, alive in me. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Oh, I've been spurned by the incorruptible seed of God. You know what that means? You can't destroy it. You can't corrupt it. It'll never go rotten. It'll never grow old. It'll never grow weak. It is a force that created the whole world. And it's recreated your human spirit. No wonder the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We just pay lip service to these words. No wonder the Bible says the world is waiting for the revelation, the manifestation of the power of the sons of the living God. The world is waiting for the revelation, for the manifestation of the power of the sons of the and the daughters of the living God. Now would be a great time to start manifesting some of that power, some of that authority. And don't do anything silly, but boy, wouldn't it be great to have some testimonies about the power that's within us being greater than what's causing all this fear in the earth right now. Someone say amen. Alrighty, well, we're going to close here. And who's my prayer team? Who's my anointed, full of power anointing? There you go. These powerful women of God are going to agree with you. The Bible says, if any two or three shall agree, is touching anything. That pretty much includes your problem. It shall be done for them. Well, we want to do it for ourselves, but it's in the blood, people. It's in the blood. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for an awesome time together. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And those of you who are coming tonight, We look forward to seeing you tonight. The rest of you, we'll see you next week. And we've got a guest preacher next week, haven't we? We've got Karina. And last time she came, she was powerful, very prophetic. She was amazing. Don't miss next Sunday. Don't miss any Sunday. What? Eh? Yes, my wife didn't get a chance to preach this morning, so she would like to say something.
I just wanted to encourage you for next week with Karina. I know that she has got something for us as a body of believers. I really was praying about her to have come through, and I felt that Karina needed to come through and release something. And when I contacted her and I said, short notice, this is the only, this is the date that I'm looking at, and she said, that's the only Sunday I have free. I believe God's in this. Yes. So come expectant next week. I believe she's got something to release over us.
Just thank you, Rebecca, for the terrific job you did putting some pictures together for that video. We're going to put that on YouTube. So if you want to see that again or send it off to a friend or somebody. We had a preacher come through here years ago. She's one of the pastors at Joel Osteen's church. And we released that song about, I don't know, 5 years ago, not with that lovely video. And she just loved it and sent it off to all her friends. But we've done a real good job of it now. So a couple of days, we'll put it, make it live on YouTube. If, yeah, a week or two. Well, just keep searching for it. It will be there one day. Just type, it's in the blood. It's in the blood. Okay. All right. All righty. Cup of tea time. Love you.